sign come on in front of the curtain. Today, before we begin, let's come to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we just come to you today, and we say that we love you. A lot of times, though, our heart is far from you. There's a lot of things that pull us away from you. And I know for myself, Lord, a lot of times after I get pulled away, I'm kind of, wow, that didn't fill me up at all. God, we ask forgiveness when we seek after those things with a deeper heart than seeking after you. Father God, we pray that we would take responsibility and take time to time with you, and that you can fill us up. For the different people here with different needs, Lord Jesus, their pains or their sufferings, God, I ask that you would come and meet them right now, that you would love them and care for them. God, today we talk about our church, and I thank you for this church. I thank you for each person who is here. God, you have created them, and you've called them your own, that they are your beloved. That you would go 1,000 miles, that you went to the cross to die for them. And we come together, Lord, with all of our brokenness and weaknesses, with all of our talents and skills that you've bestowed upon us. We come humbly here as the church. Your church, God, your body, wanting to please you. Come and speak to us today, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I've been here for about 2-3 months now. And most of you kind of know my name and who I am, Pastor Kurt. Today we're going to talk a little bit about filling in some holes. Before I came to C4, I prayed and fast. And during that time, the Lord spoke to me and showed me that there were a few holes. And I really didn't understand what that meant and why he was showing me that. But trusting the Lord, moving, praying that the Lord would fill in some of the holes. And for the English section, we have been stretched kind of thin. We a lot of times assume responsibility for the children, assume responsibility for the youth, assume responsibility for the English section. And we have a lot of responsibility, but our resources are a little thin. And so, as we are seeking to bless the church in many different ways, there have been a few holes that have developed. As talking with Dan, he said, yeah, I just feel like there's some holes we need to fill in. So we're going to be talking about that today. If you have change and you have a hole in your pocket and you put it in, it has a little bit of problem, right? You don't want to have holes in your pockets. If I get a drink of water, Matthew comes on up, I say, Matthew, can you give me a drink of water? Sure, come on up, pour it in this bucket. Whoa, we got some holes in the bucket. Okay. Got all prepared for that. But things just are not as efficient. Yeah, I can get some water out of there, but it's not as efficient. If we run the air conditioner in our home and leave all the windows open, there's holes. That's not very efficient energy. We'll say, close the windows. So I think in our church, we are very much surviving, actually doing pretty well. We're getting by. But the Lord wants us to take a step further so we can grow, to live even fuller than what we're living. We're like, whoa, man, we're already stretched thin. But we're going to try to put some organization with that and help us out. So looking about filling in some holes. First of all, I think we go to the first one, assumptions. We have a few assumptions in our church, and so we want to look at some of those. First of all, definition of assumption is to take something for granted. Okay? I think you know, but you don't know. Now, why do we assume certain things? First of all, I'd like just to say, in your life, high school, college, wherever you're at, remember, don't assume. Don't assume. Now, why do we assume? One, we assume because it's safe. I believe you know who I am. Every one of you knows who I am. My name, where I came from. I assume that you know my wife and her name. I assume you know my children, their names, and how old they are. And some of you are like, I don't know. You're new. I'm new. And some of you are like, Pastor Kurt, don't treat me like a little baby. I'm not stupid. I know who you are, your kids' names, how old they are. Have you ever received that in school and stuff? You try to ask, you try to be nice, you try to give information. They're like, don't treat me like that. I'm not stupid. I was just trying to help. Right? Just trying to help, just trying to make sure you had the information. So what we do intentionally is say, Pastor Kurt, I know your name's kids. No, you know, don't tell me. We draw back. We step back and say, okay, if you know everything, I'm just going to start to assume that you know. And I won't talk to you much again. Assuming you know. And we fear. We draw back. Number two, we assume because we don't put ourselves in other people's shoes. Newcomers who come. Do they know where the bathroom's at? In fact, how many bathrooms do we have in these facilities? Four? Five? How many are in that room? There's like hidden ones. I was going through there like, whoa, bathroom. Didn't know. Okay, I think there's five. You've been to every one of them. No. We go. We assume. Greeters. They've been here for the first time. Where do their children go? We can't assume. We need to put ourselves in their shoes as first-time comers. We assume because it's easier. Less time. We become lazy. We just assume, and even if they don't know, we really don't want to take time to tell them. I was watching the show Amazing Race, actually in Taiwan. We could not get the show, but my brother would send us tapes. Well, one of them, they're in a hurry. They need to go fast. They're not checking things out. They pull their, you know, SUV up. You know, always have, yes, SUVs, nice and efficient. Pull it up, and they grab the pump, and they flip open, and it says diesel. They grab the unleaded, stick it in. Why? They just assumed. Because they were busy, it was quick, it was easy. Let's go. Bum, 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 bum. Yeah, it's over. Well, what they thought would be easier and faster to assume ended up being much more time. Number four, we assume because we think that's the way we've always done it. It just becomes tradition. And so we just do it. And we do it some more, not really even thinking why we do it or how we do it. I read a story about Harry Houdini. He's that guy that could escape from any problem. He would be locked in chains and in a chest and put hay stacked over and put on fire. He'd be thrown in rivers, locked in chains, and left to drown. And he would always escape. One time in Scotland, he had broken some laws, and the police hauled him into jail. He's like, ha ha, you know. They put him in shackles, feet and hand. He quickly undid the feet shackles, and went over to the prison door and was working on it. The guy worked on it for 3-4 hours, couldn't get open. finally just sat down with his back up against the door and the thing swung open. The guy had forgot to lock it, and that's why he could not open it. Well, what was the problem? He just assumed it was locked. Assumptions. When we assume, we miss a lot. We miss a lot of what's going on and how it has to be done. And the best thing we can do is to communicate. A good thing to do is ask questions. Do you know my name? Do you know my children? Do you know where the bathroom's at? Is this your first time here? Oh, I've been coming here for, 2 years. Oh, sorry. You kind of feel funny, right? A bit of fear comes in. But we can't stop. We need to continue to communicate, ask questions, and grow all of our life. Some things that I would like to just ask you questions. What happens after the worship is done? Okay, good. Sunday school. What else happens? After worship, ding, ding, praise the Lord, hallelujah. The speaker comes up, right? Now, if you're new, like I was new before, I didn't even know that. I didn't know what happened. Everybody got up, started moving around, and then people would look at me like, what are you doing sitting there? It's your time to speak. Okay. But we assume all this is happening. How do you collect an offering here? There's a box. Many of you know. There's a box in the back. For newcomers, for me, I didn't know. It took me 2 months, and finally I asked someone, where do you put the offering? Secret box. And all of this is fine. There's no problem with it. I'm just saying that we just assume people know, but they don't. Children's Sunday school, where do they go? Where do our kids go? Here? Okay. I don't know. I don't know where the kids go. I know they, I'm assuming they go right there. But I'm always so busy here. Where do they go, Jimmy? Over this one, see? So we're going to be getting some things around to say, and I've been working on signs for buildings. Can we get a sign for the building? And then we'll tell them they're going that. Therefore, mothers and fathers know. What happens after Sunday school and everything? Adult Sunday school, lunch. That's my favorite time of the day, actually, is lunch. I know that one very well. But for newcomers, they don't really know. We assume they know. So we, as a group, need to be, especially with newcomers, saying, hey, afterwards we have lunch, please join us. Or your children afterwards will be heading over here. And we'll be working on some of these areas so that when we get the water and stuff, and the money, please remind me to pick that up afterwards. That things will be a lot more efficient throughout life. Here at C4, we got to remember when we see newcomers, and as we go through our process, not to assume, but to communicate. So we're talking about filling in some holes, and now we're going to talk about filling in some holes with leadership and leadership structure. So we're working on building up leadership and leadership structure. When I think about C4 and I think about what has occurred in the past, I am just amazed at how well all the leadership has been doing. Without a main leader, the children and the youth and even the English section, the leaders have done an awesome job. It's been wonderful. But as Dan has sort of complied, but there's a few holes. Some things are kind of sneaking out, and we don't really know how to get those under control. So we're going to be looking at that. What is the leadership structure right now for the entire church? I think I might have these up here. Yeah, pastors, Pastor Wong, and I am under Pastor Wong. What else is the major leadership board that we have? Okay. Youth? Youth, what's the major board that kind of governs the church? Because I heard the adults sort of say it, especially the ones who've maybe served on it. But for the rest of us, we really don't know. In fact, I think it has two names, executive board and deacon board. But it's those who serve at the church and make decisions. We have it up here, and you can see the different areas. And I'm just giving you this information because I, as a pastor, don't want to assume, I don't care how young or old you are, that you know this, because each of you are very important. Different people who are serving there, the different groups. And so maybe you think Dan just helps out with the youth, but he's also a treasurer. Okay? Maybe some of you didn't know that. So these are some of the main leaders. Pastor, I'm under the pastor. And then we have the general board, and I and the pastor are under the board, and also pastor and I help take care of the board. It's working well, the structure. English leadership, actually, let's wait on that. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles, Acts 6, 1 through 7. Acts chapter 6. One through seven. Acts is in your New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Gospels, and then Acts. Acts 6, 1 through 7. In those days, when the number of disciples were increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So basically, we have some widows. They wanted to receive food, but they were not receiving the food that they needed. So the 12, we can say 12 disciples, gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. They're saying, we have a job to share the Word of God, but we can't take all of our time just feeding the widows. So what do we need to do? Verse 3, brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and we'll give our attention to prayer and ministry of the word. If you drop down to verse 7, it says, so the word of God spread, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. Here we see a very good organized structure of saying, hey, we can't do everything. We would like to, but we can't. And plus we have this responsibility to share the word of God. And so let's go ahead and choose some people to help us to fulfill what we need to do in a leadership structure. Even the Bible has this. So we look at our English section. We have formed an English leadership team. Let's go ahead and hit that, Luther. These are some of the people. Pastor Kurt, Dan Lamb, Art Carter, Luther, and Pastor Wong. Dr. Higgins was on it. Right now he's a little busy. So we consult with him outside of the normal meetings. What is our purpose? Our purpose is to lead and care for you. You who are here with us. We need to shepherd you. And service team coordinators. Now, what is this word, service team coordinators? Let's look at that. This is what we have developed in the last few weeks, is some of the areas need to have a main leader. And right now, in many areas, we have numerous leaders for different areas, but we don't know exactly who to talk to. So we're looking to get a coordinator. Sunday service. In July, we're going to try to start. Pastor's going to try organizing all of the Sunday services. Worship. We asked Debbie to help take responsibility, to step up and say she's the main go-to person. If I, as the pastor, have any questions, I can ask her, and then she'll talk to her team, okay? Media, Richard Young. Hi, Richard. How you doing? That's Richard back there. He's in the media area, okay? Thank you so much for your help. Greeter, Art, he's on vacation, but he's going to try to help. Wing has been doing a little bit, but we're going to try to give that responsibility to Art, help people, greet people as they come in. Youth, Wing has accepted that to be the main go-to person. Wing, how you doing? Yeah, right there she is. Wave your hand. Trisha Bailey, she's not here right now, but she's helping take care of the children and the nursery. Adult fellowship, Pastor Kurt, adult Sunday school, Pastor Kurt, and we're still talking about some college, young adult, and possibly outreach areas. What is their purpose? What do they do as coordinators? Down at the bottom, if you can see that, to lead and care for service teams and train leaders. Sounds like a large responsibility, but the main part is to coordinate. Who does what? Who are the greeters? Who's in charge of the media? What is happening for the youth? And what is happening for the children? Each person takes a different role and responsibility. What I've found in my own life is that as we start to coordinate, as we start to lead, we start to forget that one other main thing needs to be done. We need to be training someone else, because the fact is we all will die one day. And we would like someone to grow up and be able to take that position. And so just as mothers and fathers, that's what we do. We train our children so we don't have to care for them all of our life. They will grow up, hopefully one day, maybe help take care of me. Okay? That's what they'll be doing. And each one will be doing it in a different capacity, in a different way. The training format I would like us to use for that is one that says, I will do it, you watch me. Okay? So, if we have Cindy come up, and hi Cindy, can you participate today? Come on up here. And we have a newcomer. I'll go up and say, hey, how you doing? Good to have you. So great to have you. If you have any questions, you know, just let me know. Okay. Cindy sees that, and then Cindy and I sort of do it together. We go out. That's step number two. Cindy, you see anyone that you would like to greet?
Hi.
Oh, man. This is a greeter. Art, where are you at?
Hi.
Excellent. Then step three is basically after she has come along in the training format, I then watch her. She can do it on her own. She doesn't need my help. She can ride the bike now. Okay? That's the type of format we'll be learning. The best way to learn things in the church, unfortunately, and in life, is by experience. You can read all the books you want. You can read all the material you want. But when you start to do something in a job or as a mother or father, you're like, oh, that was nice in the book, but that didn't really connect with where I'm at. Okay? So experience. Number three is we need to be building up our team. Who is our team? That's all of us. All of us sitting here today and some more. And we need you. I need you. And so as we go back a slide, Luther, we can go up one. What are these areas maybe does your heart resonate with? What do you have a passion for? What do you think you have a gift for? Or what would you like to try? And as you come and talk to these different people and talk to the pastor, under the coverage of authority, under the coverage of our leadership, we can help you to work with one another and build a team in these areas to lift the Lord on high. Back to one of my favorite shows, Amazing Race. They had this one episode where they had to row a big rowboat across the lake. And one team jumped in, and I don't know how they did it, but man, they were just all in sync. They were rowing, they're just heading across. The other one, I had to laugh because, I mean, either they didn't know or one person didn't take leadership. Their team, one guy was rowing backwards, another was rowing frontwards. Some ladies were, you know, they didn't even know what was going on. They were just like a dead boat in the water. They were just going nowhere. And it took them such a long time to get across. That's what we want to do. We don't want to be that boat struggling. We want to get in sync as a team, heading across the water together for one purpose. We talk about some of these different areas of leadership and team, and so we're going to look at some of these different concepts. We can hit it, Lou. Okay? A leader. And we can write in the outline there. We have a space to fill that in. A leader must have a correct concept of leadership. Because a lot of us have an incorrect concept. A leader is not a dictator. A leader is not a dominant powerhouse that says, "You do what I say now." A leader is not Superman. And so we say very much a leader needs help. And a leader is only as good as those around him who are helping him or her. Every leader needs secondary leaders. And what does this mean? That doesn't mean they're secondary in skill or ability. It just means that they're not on the front lines. It means that they are secondary in that someone is over them, covering them, guiding and directing them. And last of all, every leader needs a team. A leader cannot win without a team. A leader is only as successful as his team. Anybody like basketball? NBA? Man, not too many. I always try to find a TV I can watch it with, and I'm not seeing too many hands go up, so not too many houses I can head to. But the Boston Celtics just won the NBA championship. They did not have the best player, the best leader. The number one basketball player in the world today was on the other team, Kobe Bryant. Why didn't they win? Because they didn't have the team. The team did not fulfill its roles in the way that they needed to. And so the Boston Celtics won 4-2, which everyone predicted that Kobe and the Lakers would win. Not everyone, but most. We open our Bibles to Exodus chapter 18, and we see the concept of leadership. Exodus 18, second book in from the beginning there. It talks about Jethro and Moses, Moses' father-in-law, Jethro. Moses, man, this guy in the Bible and to the Jewish mind is like the powerhouse of powerhouse. He's the man among men. This guy is one of the greatest leaders of all time. And in the Jewish community, he's deeply, deeply respected. But we see an incident here, chapter 18, verse 13. It says, "The next day Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening." How would you like to go from morning to evening talking to people all day long? Especially as a man with our limited word resources. It says that Jethro... verse 17, "Moses' father-in-law replied, 'What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice. And may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them the decrees and the laws and show them the way to live and the duties they are to perform. But, select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men, who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, over hundreds, over fifties and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you." It goes on to say that Moses took this advice and did it. What was Moses doing? He was trying to do it all himself. And he was getting wore out. It wasn't working well. There were holes. And so what did he do? He decided, let's get a team of leaders who can help. We all need to be part of a team. And I, as your pastor, I need you. I'm really do see myself as nothing without Jesus and without you as a team. A church. I need secondary leaders to help. And so we come together to unite, to build up the kingdom of God. Which area do you think you best fit into? What do you think the number one quality that a leader needs to have? Honesty. Any other suggestions? What? Leadership?
Yeah.
Yep. Integrity? And these are all important qualities. But what we see is that the heart of hearts needs to be to serve. To serve. And where does the heart to serve another person come from? It comes from God and the love of God that He puts in front of us. Why? Because service, a lot of times, there's no fun. It takes sacrifice. It takes giving up who you are to love another person. God has called me to be a pastor, but really my heart of hearts relates around this area of service. I would not mind very much, and this is where my concept was before God called me to be a pastor. I'll get a nice job in electronics. That's what I was studying at Akron University. And then I'll have a nice car, and then I'll and a nice wife and a nice house, and then I'll serve at the church. But there's nothing wrong with that. And I just saw myself as serving the church, serving the people. But God called me then to be a pastor. In fact, there's a strange concept. My wife and I like gardening, but for me, I really don't like getting the fruit. How strange, huh? But I like digging in the ground and working it and serving and doing this kind of grunt work stuff and then giving the fruit away. I have a heart to serve. And I truly believe what Wing had just put this book out for, I think they're going to do it for some of the youth, Oswald Sanders and Spiritual Leadership, where he said, the best leaders are followers. Why? Because they've learned how to serve. They've learned how to submit. They've learned how to give all that they've had to support someone else. And they understand the struggle of that. In John chapter 13, we see this concept of what I consider one of the greatest leaders of all time. John chapter 13. We see this in the concept of Jesus. And of all the things that He could do, and you don't see this anywhere else in the world, He chose to do a very interesting task as one of His last tasks. Chapter 13, verse 1. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for Him to leave this world to be crucified and to go to the Father. Having loved His own who were in the world, He now showed them the full extent of His love. The full extent of His love. And what did He do? He washed their feet. And then He went to the cross. He served them with a deep, deep sacrifice. It's so interesting that this man, all the power he ever wanted or could have, chose to serve and to sacrifice. We go down to verse 12 near the end here, and we read to the end of this section. When He had finished washing their feet, He put on His clothes and returned to His place. Do you understand what I have done for you? Do you understand? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. He's not denying that He is Lord. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, and no master Your messenger is greater than the one who sent him. And I always kind of wondered about these last lines. I didn't get why they were there. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than the master, and no messenger is greater than the one who sent him. And it's pretty a no-brainer, or is it? But it's interesting that he puts that at last instead of the front. You know, he steps into the room, you know. No servant is greater than the master, right? No messenger is greater than the one who sent him, right? But no, he does it at the end, after what? After he washed the feet. After he displayed the number one quality of a leader. To get down on his knees and wash the feet. To serve, to love, to sacrifice. I really hope that each of you, I don't care how young you are, I don't care how you think about I don't have this talent, I'm not beautiful like so on. I don't care what it is that you have blocking it. I hope each of you aspire and desire to be a Christian leader one day. Because the main thing it takes is service and love. And doing that, in serving others, I believe you will really find the greatest gift that God can give. The greatest love of laying down your life for another. And in this we find true honor. When we talk about leadership, when we talk about teams, I believe there's another area we need to address, is authority. You can write that in your outlines there. A leader must have a correct concept of authority. Now, when we say this word authority, what comes to your mind? Some of us are like, oh, look out. You know, some guy in authority, he thinks he's got the power. He's going to try to walk over me. Some of us, when we see authority figures, we're like, hey, man, I could do just as good as him. Why is he in that position instead of me? And a lot of times, yeah, you know what? People have abused their authority. And it's a shame that there's not more love and service in it all. We think about a policeman directing traffic, traffic cop. Does he have the power to stop a car? Here it comes. I'm going to stop it. Just gets run over. But does he have the authority? And that's where it lies for him. Not in that little whistle. That little whistle's not going to stop the car. It's in the authority that's given to him to wear the suit, to have the whistle, to stop the traffic, to guide and direct it. But the main thinking for me is, where does that authority come from? That power, that strength to then guide and direct each of those cars. I believe it comes from two places, or you could say two people, a higher source and a lower source. When we think about someone who has authority, it comes from a higher source. A source that the policeman has been given authority, maybe by the police chief, or the city of Columbia. But actually, as the cars are coming by, do you see the police chief out there with him, or the city board? No. The authority actually then comes up from the people driving the cars, to actually listen and obey and do what he says. You as a person looking at that traffic cop, make a decision to give him authority. It comes from up and it comes from down. And there's interesting that there's one key concept, one link, common denominator between the higher and the lower with the traffic cop. That one word is trust. Both the higher authority, the police chief or the city, and the lower authority or lower source of the people driving the cars are doing what? They are trusting that person in authority, that traffic cop. They are saying, I trust him to direct traffic. I trust him to guide us in the right path. Now, what happens when that trust is broken? When something falls apart with that trust, that traffic cop breaks that trust? We get chaos. All of a sudden, I don't trust him. I'm going. Another person goes too. Some people are stopping. Other people, I don't trust him. I'm going to turn right when he tells me turn left. I don't care. Another person, pretty soon, we're getting a crash. And when we're not trusting our authority, when we get chaos, people get hurt. That's why we need authority and leadership structures, even though we may not like it. And we really do a disservice to the larger group when we, as a body, or as a single person, disrespect the authority that is over us. And at the same time, we need to talk about that word trust, right? It's an interesting word. It almost, in its sense, in our own being, is living and growing and takes on its own form throughout our experiences of life as we journey down that river. Initially, trust is given to a leader. But over time, that trust must be learned. That trust must be earned. But also an interesting concept in that whole thing is the fact we are humans. Is anyone here not human? Above and beyond. No mistakes made, never a sin, never a problem. And so as a leader, what happens to us? Even though I can do things 99%, there may be that 1% of time where I make some big mistake. And then you're looking at me or you're looking at the leader saying, oh, my, my, my. 1% he screwed up. And maybe you're thinking also, you see your names up there in that list of English service areas. You've experienced it, man. I don't want a leadership position. I made one mistake, and they climbed all over me. They're like pack of wolves. You know, they just want to devour me. I don't want to ever lead again. Some of us have experienced that. But it's a very trustworthy saying. Trustworthy saying from the Bible, 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. What I'm saying is, if you as a leader, if you can serve and love the people with a deep heart that comes from Jesus, many times they will overlook that mistake, and they will still come under the authority that has been given to you. But I tell you what, if you just lead in this dominant, power-like way, you make one mistake, oh boy, look out. It's not going to be nice. So to love, to serve. Open our Bibles to Mark 10. Jesus talks about this concept here. He's saying it's not about power. In regards to authority, he's saying it's about love that comes through service. Mark chapter 10, 42 through 45. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Whatever that means, lord it over them. You sit the sense of power. And their high officials exercise authority over them. But not so with you, Jesus says. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. I, as your pastor, receive authority from God, from the pastor, Wong, but also from you as the lower source. And I pray that you would give me time to earn your trust through service and love. Also with those who were serving on service team coordinators in the same way, to give them time to respect and honor them. And may you, those who will lead, serve and love. We have one more concept, but time has run out, and I'll let you think about this. Spiritual coverage. Leaders covering you in different ways. And hopefully we'll get to that at another time. But I'd like us to take some time right now to bow our heads and to think over with the Lord some of these concepts. We're talking about in the realm of church, Lord, but also these concepts are very true in the larger picture for mothers and fathers, for families, for work jobs and positions, for teachers and schooling. The concept of authority. God, I pray for each area, but especially for our church, that you would build up our leadership and our structure, that you would build up our team, that we would all get into the same boat and row in the same direction, that we would respect the authority and pray for our leaders and those who are leaders, that they would be filled with a deep heart of service and love, to sacrifice even to the point of shedding their own blood. God, that your Holy Spirit would come and fill this place and fill our hearts, that you would save souls, that you would forgive, that you would heal, and you would build your kingdom, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And now we usually have announcements. Who is doing announcements today? Pastor Kirk.